Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. It's a Friday show. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're going to have some fun today. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by my partner in sports, Mr. Seth Habhager.
Hello, everyone.
We're going to have some fun. We got good things coming up for you. We're going to talk, what was it? There was a game this weekend I wanted to talk about.
Something happening this weekend?
There was a game this weekend. I know I wanted to.
Some NBA games happening tomorrow, I know.
We are going to talk Super Bowl. We got that coming up. Who's rooting for him? Who's not? We'll get into all that. Our picks. We got to make picks because we are a sports show. We will also get into a couple of other fun things. We're going to get into other football comments here, too, more than just the Super Bowl. I want to talk about the NFL honors yesterday a little bit, too, in the Hall of Fame class. I don't know. Do we have to use a different word? Because there's only a couple guys going in, so it's a Hall of Fame class. It doesn't feel like a class. It feels
it's
like
the Hall of Fame crew bunch. Yeah. The Hall of Fame.
Maybe you had this where you grew up. I know a couple of friends of mine from around here and everything went to schools where their graduating class was like five people. Like, you know, it feels like that.
We had a couple of schools with like 20 kids. Yeah.
Yeah. It feels like that a little bit. But I have Seth in, and I do. I want to talk a little baseball. Not only because I know his brain is an idiot savant when it comes to baseball, to like to take advantage of that, but we got a couple of topics that have come up in the last 48 hours, I think, are interesting. We're going to talk a little bit about the rankings of the 25 MLB farm systems.
That's always
good. I'm just going to take a look at it. We don't have to do a deep dive, but I do want to take a look at that. I want to say goodbye to a legend before we wrap up as well. But start right here, Seth, because Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred said he is getting emails from fans concerned over the sport's lack of a salary cap following an offseason spending spree by the Los Angeles Dodgers. I wonder if he got what would have been back then, written letters about the New York Yankees decades doing this same thing.
Right, right.
And San Diego Padres a couple of years ago doing something very similar, where every good infielder the Padres had. Like every good infielder in baseball, pretty much.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not like this is new. It's not new.
Yeah. And my question is to, like, how many people really do care about a salary cap? Because I don't feel like you can have it both ways. You can't be mad at the Dodgers and then also not want a salary cap. If you're mad at the Dodgers, it tells me you want a salary cap in baseball. Mm-hmm. Because the Dodgers didn't do anything that your owner couldn't do. Mm-hmm. I could get furious with Jerry Reinsdorf. I know he's got money. He could be spending it.
Sure.
It's not as if they did anything illegal here.
No,
they're not
at all
doing anything wrong.
They're well within the rules of the game.
And in fact, a rising tide raises all boats in some ways because of the way that this is all worked out, mm-hmm. that the revenue sales that the Dodgers get, that is spread out throughout other teams and everything.
Man. So they have a license to print money. They own, unlike a lot of stadiums, which are, you know, like public funded and stuff like that, the Dodgers own their own stadium. Yeah. Every dollar of parking, concession, everything, they get all of it.
I just was having this conversation with my parents about the Bears and ownership and the hope that they might sell that team now. Mm-hmm. More on that later. But I have that happen, and our first comments were, yeah, here's hoping they – boy, wouldn't it be great if they did what Green Bay did? Most of us in my family look at what they did as a franchise and the ownership of that team and how cool that is. And I think it's the coolest ownership in all of sports. Mm-hmm. And we laughed, of course, because that'll never happen.
No. But I think they made a rule about it, but anyway, yeah, the NFL did.
But you look at something like that, mm-hmm. That's a unique thing.
Very unique.
And as Seth just got done telling you, you're not going to ever see that again.
No, you will not.
So it's similar to me as getting mad at something like that. Well, how come they can do that and we can't? Well, your team could have. They could have done this if they were smart enough, if they were good enough at their jobs and everything. It's not just the money that these players sign for. It's the idea of winning. It's the idea of the going somewhere nice for spring training. Mm-hmm. It's weather. It's a million. It's schools. It's a million things. The idea that the Dodgers just have a bigger checkbook than everybody else isn't true.
No, it's not.
They have a lot of money. Sure.
Sure.
So does the Chicago White Sox and the Milwaukee Brewers and the Minnesota Twins and the Seattle Mariners and.
I mean, the Mets are the other great example on the other side of the country who have probably. he probably has more money than the Dodgers do. Yeah. If he actually, you know, used it all. If he's used a lot.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he hasn't, you know. But it's not just the Dodgers.
I'll put this out there to the audience. 715-424-2600. Do you think baseball should have a salary cap? What do you think about that?
I think, well, they have a it's not a hard salary cap. They have what's called, well, they don't call it the luxury tax anymore. That's what they first called it. Now it's the competitive balance tax. It's just, I think some teams are more willing to go past it now. For a long time, that was a great incentive. Teams didn't want to go over the threshold. They didn't want to spend that, you know, share that money with the rest of the league, which is where it goes. It goes to a pool for, you know, all the teams to pull from. But for now, the last couple of years, we've seen, like you said, San Diego, they blew past it. Steve Cohen has done it twice now. I mean, got way past it. Now the Dodgers have done the same thing. It's because of the money, the amount we're talking here, it's not as much as an incentive not to do it.
Right.
As it used to be. Now which is why I'm guessing now is we're getting to hear the hard salary cap talk. Mm. Like the NFL has, like the NBA has, and the NHL. You see the funny pattern here. It's always to keep themselves from doing something, okay?
Yeah.
The reason the Baseball instituted their amateur draft in 1965, that was the first time there was an amateur draft from college and high school players, was because the owners were spending too much money on these what were called bonus babies. These really talented, you know, really lots of potential players, and they were busting. And, of course, the owners are like, stop me from spending all this money on these guys that aren't working out. So they said, okay, well, we're a legal monopoly. Let's go ahead and institute a draft where we can control how much we spend on the players. Well, this is the same thing right now. They're trying to control how much they have to spend on the players because they can't control. Although they seem to be doing a fine job, most teams, besides the Dodgers and the Mets, seem to be doing a fine job of controlling how much they're spending right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Sadly.
We'll see how it goes, and you still got to play the games.
Absolutely.
The Dodgers limped into the playoffs last
year.
And
no
guarantee. They did win it, but there's so many games now. There's just so many games. I don't know.
And the Rays, I mean, never count out a team like the Rays, who have one of the smallest payrolls, and they can still play good brand of baseball. So
we're about to get into predictions a little bit later with the Super Bowl, and I want to make just a couple of quick ones real quick about the MLB season. One of them, a team that we didn't expect will be good. That is my hot take. It happens every year.
It happens every year.
And it's a team that doesn't spend $1 billion or any of this stuff and everything. So there's your hot take for the baseball season going forward. You can go ahead and
bookmark that one.
Yeah, take me down. And my real hot take I got here, though, and I will actually get this one out there. You can go ahead and rewind this one and play it back if you want to, everybody. But I genuinely believe this. I think that when it comes to the trade that the Brewers made with the New York Yankees for Devin Williams, bringing in Nestor Cortez. Mm-hmm. I believe that in 2025, you're going to see Nasty Nestor.
That's a good prediction. I
genuinely believe that the Milwaukee Brewer fans are going to be ecstatic about that trade. And I don't know how their season's going to look, but I think they're going to have a one or a two in their starting pitching. Nestor Cortez, and I say all this because of the great writing at MLB.com. This is not my thought process. There's a great article at MLB.com. I encourage you to check out how the crew can get Nasty Nestor back.
Which is a great nickname, by the way. I love that nickname.
And a nice interview on there with Nestor about joining Milwaukee and how he feels about the city. He's played here before. Has always loved the fan base and everything. This just worked out for him and his family. Nestor Cortez is a number one in many bullpens, except for, of course, you know, how he finished last season.
Yep. He had a rough season, up and down.
And is up and down. Though Cortez had an inconsistent 2024, he was locked in before injuries derailed his season, going 4-0 with a 1.58 ERA in his final seven regular season outings.
Which, that's good. That's good news. Very good news.
And in order for him to become Nasty again, there's just a couple of things that he really needs to do. He obviously has to get hitters off of his four-seamer. That's a gigantic one. And they go into detail about that one, and I encourage you to check that out, because I think it's really cool and interesting the way they break his velocity down and stuff like that.
Right, right. Well, any time a pitcher falls in love with one pitch, that's danger. That's always red lights. Yeah. It's always warning signs, because that means that the batters can cue up on that one pitch. Yeah,
he's got to improve on that four-seamer, maybe a better complementary pitch to that, and, of course, staying healthy.
Always.
And that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Now, let's take a look at the Milwaukee Brewers' history with pitchers and what they've been able to do with middle-round guys or guys that aren't that good or guys that they come into the MLB with maybe a good fastball but not a lot of other good pitches or something like that.
Right.
And that pitching staff, that coaching staff takes those guys and turns them into Brandon Woodruff and other great starting pitchers.
Yeah, Corbin Burns, yeah, right.
I think that that pitching staff, I think that coaching staff over there can take a guy like Nestor Cortez, who has played on the biggest on some of the biggest stages in the biggest market.
Yes.
And
he was in the World Series last year, yeah.
And comes into this with I mean, what has he got to lose? He's got everything to prove. Mm-hmm. He's got nothing to lose and everything to prove. A perfect place to have an athlete. It really is. I think this could work out really well for Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't take a lot. Admittedly, that's not a high bar. I don't think, because in part, I don't think that Devin Williams was worth what he was paid. Mm-hmm. I don't think he proved that. He was not, he's a good closer. He was closer of the year, rookie of the year, all those different things. Mm-hmm. He also was smashing his pitching hand, walking off the field and stuff. Like,
really dumb stuff, right?
There is nobody, Raleigh Fingers is not talented enough for me to give him that kind of money if he's acting that way.
Right.
I think you worked out. I think win-win. You get that out of the clubhouse. You get that off that payroll. And you bring in a guy like they brought in the one or two decent pieces. But Nestor Cortez, to me, I think could be, along with Freddie Peralta. Yep. Whew, that's a nice start. And then you get Brandon Woodruff back. It looks like he's going to be back within the first month of the season.
We have no idea what we're going to find out with him. Yes, I mean, that's a big question mark. But if he's anything like he was before, I mean, you've got a good top three starting pitching, and that can go a long way. I think the Brewers won in terms of personality.
Yeah.
Nestor Cortez is kind of one of those free spirit guys, you know, who's really positive, that kind of thing. Man, when you get they get rid of the sour Devin Williams,
yes,
who is I mean, just this side of Tommy Pham, is one of the crankiest guys in baseball. Just like that, addition by subtraction, maybe.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
no question, he's a fabulous one of the best relievers in the game. But at the same time,
I know people get bent out of shape about NBA players. I don't like it here. I want to go. And then, you know, they get traded and all that. Mm-hmm. And they call them divas and all these things. If I am an owner, if I am a GM, I want that because I don't want you here.
Right.
I don't care if you're LeBron James. If you don't want to be here, great. We're going to get something good for you. All I ask is keep it between us. Because as soon as you go out there and tell Stephen A. Smith or anybody else, our trade value is dead.
Exactly. Then you can't get the value back.
Because
you're like, he's got him on a barrel, you know, that kind of thing.
That's the problem I have with it. Don't think for a second that NBA players are the only people doing this.
Oh,
people
no.
have been doing this since sports was invented. It's just a lot of other organizations and a lot of other leagues are able to keep this down a little bit better.
Yeah, case in point, Cooper Kupp.
come on. Yeah, then you got something like that.
That was funny, though.
That was pretty.
That was pretty funny.
The pitchers and catchers are first reporting February 12th here, just around the corner.
Wednesday. That's Wednesday.
You've got Atlanta, Baltimore, Boston, a bunch of teams with pitchers and catchers reporting. Minnesota is the 13th, and then Monday the 17th. In the Cactus League, you've got the Cubs and White Sox reporting on the Cubs are reporting on the 9th.
Wow.
Sox on the 12th. And, of course, Milwaukee, Thursday, February 13th. And then Tuesday, February 18th.
All right.
So that is, it is already there, man. We're
right there. Less than a week away.
It's pretty cool. That is pretty exciting. Let's take a quick look at the farm systems here, because I think this is another interesting one. And you can find this ranking, if you like, at ESPN.com. They're ranking the farm systems of 2025. Now, for a long time, I say, Seth, who has the best farm system in baseball? I think most people are going to say Baltimore.
Yeah, absolutely. They were the top. They were towards the top of the list, for sure.
I just assumed that that's what I was going to see. Now, what do we see coming out of this right away as we're coming out of the World Series with Los Angeles Dodgers just won, coming off of an offseason that's wrapping up, where the Dodgers won the offseason by all accounts.
By leaps and bounds, yeah.
And who has the best farm system in baseball? The Dodgers. Yikes.
Again, this is smart baseball. They're just really good at what they do. I'm telling you, they're giving themselves the best chance to win.
Top 100 prospect. They have eight top 100 prospects.
Jeez.
So that's part of it.
That's impressive.
Real quick side note. If you are a Dodgers fan, if you are a Kansas City Chiefs fan, and you're mad, everybody's mad at you, blame the Patriots.
Yeah.
We'll talk more about this when we talk Super Bowl, but I don't think that people are actually mad at Kansas City or dislike Kansas City.
No.
I think we're just getting over the hangover of the New England Patriots, and we didn't need another dynasty.
Like, right away.
It could be any team outside of your favorite team, and you would be annoyed and sick of them.
And besides, you have no right to be upset.
Yeah.
Your teams are winning. Stop it. Yeah. Get out of here with that.
Yeah, you don't get,
and just enjoy your wins. Come on.
If ever I would encourage people to be a Boston or a Philly fan, if you are one of those fan bases, just embrace that. I say embrace it. Yeah, because it ain't going to change. I mean, whining about it ain't going to change anything. That's for sure.
No.
So the Dodgers.
Most LA fans don't care anyway.
No. Half of them aren't paying attention until halfway through
exactly.
the game and everything. Yeah. Are we in the World Series? Really?
Yeah. Oh, we're here again.
I mean, when I was living out there, it was the wildest thing to be. San Francisco is in the Super Bowl taking on Baltimore, and I am jacked. I'm like, I am in the state where they're going to love this. I live right. I'm by San Francisco and everything. It was literally like Christmas, where like 2 weeks before Christmas, everybody, all of a sudden it was like everybody just dumped out all their Christmas stuff. I'm like, oh, okay, they do celebrate Christmas around here. It was the same thing with the Super Bowl, the exact same thing.
Oh, that's funny.
2 weeks before the Super Bowl, all this Niner stuff just came out.
Just appeared,
guys I had no idea I was working with for months, I had no idea were Niner fans all of a sudden. Like, oh, yeah, I love Montana. Like, you know, you don't play there anymore. Like,
Well, Steve Young, whatever.
Right. Who sits at number two, though, Seth? Let me just show this to you right here.
The Chicago White Sox?
Yeah,
that's got to be a typo.
Let me double check.
I'm kidding.
I was so excited when I saw this because this is literally all I have. They do have six top 100 prospects after the trades that they made in the regular season and off season with a great Crockett trade recently with Sox and everything. Which obviously doesn't mean a whole lot, as the White Sox have proven. But I love the contrast here. I don't know if you have a bigger contrast in baseball than the Los Angeles Dodgers have the best farm system, and the number two best farm system in baseball is unarguably the worst team we've ever seen in baseball. You can't argue it. And I'm the biggest White Sox fan anybody's going to meet because I'm the only one left. I'm literally it. It is just me left.
Hello.
I've tried. I've got, like, the meetings have gotten really, really quiet, man. I don't even know why we have catering.
White Sox,
why are we catering? It's just me.
I just didn't want to cancel the contract.
I should not have called. I booked the whole meet. I booked the whole meet.
Why?
It's just me.
Why did you
do that?
I, first of all, I'm gonna irritate you just a little bit because I'm gonna say if you look at some of the advanced stats, the White Sox weren't as bad as it seemed. It wasn't, you know, but we don't need to get into that.
No, you're right,
though. They had a historically bad season.
Yes,
they also had historically bad luck last year.
True.
So that we have to take that in. But still, it's very. I think it's good. I mean, the fact they need. I mean, like you said, White Sox fan, they need anything right now, and it's like, well, at least you guys, you know, you got something from some of the trades you made. You've got some prospects. You know, again, the bad luck with the prospects that they had. You didn't know there were going to be all those injuries. You didn't know that guys were not going to pan out. It looked really good for a while, and then it just didn't work. Well, hopefully, they're building something up again.
I just saw Johan Makata sign somewhere too. I was really happy to see him.
He's with the Angels.
Good for him. I always liked him.
Yeah, I did too. I mean, he can't stay healthy to save his soul, but he's a good player when he plays.
Detroit has the third best farm system. Kind of encouraging to see that too. I like seeing where Detroit's like rising up here a little bit.
Even with them having a very good year last year too. Mm-hmm. That's nice. Yeah.
Boston, as usual, number four farm system in baseball. Tampa Bay, number five. Not too surprising with either of those.
If I were a Boston fan, I would never believe their front office again. 2 years in a row, they're like, we're pulling out all the stops. We're going to buy nothing. Nothing happened. Nothing. Zero.
It feels a little bit like a sleeping monster at times with Boston. And I guess there's a pun there with the red with the big
with the monster.
I didn't mean to do that. But at the same, like, I'm with you because I'm not even a fan. But I work with and am very good friends with a Bostonian who is diehard.
Diehard. Yeah.
The Red Sox more than any other team. The Red Sox, Bruins, and then it's other teams.
Yeah. Maybe the Patriots. Well, now the Patriots are like. Yeah.
I would say Celtics before that.
Oh, wow.
But he loves the Red Sox, man. Okay. And he's coming into this offseason. He's like, woo, we're bringing in Soto. Like, bro, I don't think that's going to happen.
No.
And he was bound and determined. This is a smart man. This is an intelligent human being, but he falls for it, too. He
fell for it every time.
Tampa Bay with the number 5 farm system. And who sits at number 6, Seth, but Minnesota?
Oh, that's good to know. Well, they're not spending money anywhere else. Yeah, they just signed Harrison Bader. Woo-hoo. Boy.
The division shook when that happened.
Yeah, right. It's like, oh, man. He's a backup for when Buxton gets hurt again. That's all that he is, because he's a good defender. Okay, great. True. He's a good center fielder, but he doesn't bring much to the plane. Anyway.
Walker Jenkins is believed to be one of the top prospects that they have in that system. So they got a couple of them that are looking really good.
Yeah, he's the big one that's coming up here. They had a guy that's played, and I can't remember his name. He was called up last year, shortstop, young guy, who's also very good, and he had a very decent rookie year. So hopefully he can build on that this year.
Seattle is at number 7. Good to see them up there, too. Mm-hmm. And the Milwaukee Brewers at number 8.
Wow.
4 top 100 prospects.
That's pretty good.
For a team that is all in and looking to, you know, win. And
they should be.
You know.
Yeah.
They also have a very strong farm system.
That's good.
And that's, I come back around to all this because of the salary cap again.
Mm.
And that all these teams have the same rules and the same salary cap.
They do.
And all of that.
Yep.
So we can get mad at the Los Angeles Dodgers. And please understand, I hate this. I hate that the Dodgers did this.
Yes.
I want every team to be like when we were kids. Every team had a superstar. I know I'm romanticizing it. I'm not going to go back and look it up. I may.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I would love that, actually. But it felt like it, at least. I would like those days again.
Mm.
I don't like one super team or anything. But I'm also an adult, and I get tired of, like, we're talking about a kid's game. Where billions of dollars are spent every year on these kids' games.
Right. 100%.
And every year, fans lose their minds about their sports teams, and I love it, and I'm one of them and everything.
Sure.
All I ask is that you have just a little bit of sanity with some of this, because otherwise, when you cry wolf or when you yell about something that actually does matter, like CTE or how the playing fields in football 9 times out of what do we I guarantee you, like, one thing after the 2025 season, we're going to complain about one of the fields.
Yep.
One of the teams we're going to complain about the fields.
Yep.
Like, let's put our focus where we could actually do some work, because the NFL and MLB and NBA and NHL have proven they listen to fans. Not always and not with everything. But if we make enough of a noise about something, they will hear us.
If we send emails to Rob Manfred.
A perfect example. There is literally no evidence to prove that the referees have helped Kansas City get to the Super Bowl. Where is that evidence? Please give it to me, 715-424-2600.
Right.
But all of the noise about it, what has happened in the last week or two? The NFL has come out. The NFLPA has come out. Everybody's saying, like, we're not doing this, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They listen. They're listening. If we really want to be heard, hey, baseball, you should have a salary cap. Hey, you should have an apron like in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it might be,
right.
Let's actually be concise about this stuff, and instead of just whining and complaining that, oh, my team didn't win. Because you know darn well if it was your team in that position, you would not be whining at all. You'd be getting a three-peat shirt. Just be adults about this.
Mm-hmm.
You can lose your minds and still be an adult. I don't know. I think you can, at least.
You can lose your mind in an adult way. How about that?
I'm saying it out loud, and I don't know.
Does that work?
I'm not sure. Yeah. I do
very controlled losing of your mind.
As we're talking baseball, and we'll come back and talk, Super Bowl and the NFL when we get back. But as we're going to our first break, I did want to touch on our stat of the show and an anniversary of sorts. It was on February 5th in 1980 that Tony Gwynn had 18 assists in a game for the San Diego Aztecs against UNLV. It's crazy, you know, crazy.
God, he was so good, man.
Most baseball fans, know that Tony Gwynn played basketball in college. In fact, got to San Diego State on a basketball scholarship.
Yep.
And really, by all rights, as a teenager, was thinking about going to be an NBA player.
Right. And if he would have stuck with it, I think there was a good chance he would have gotten drafted into the NBA if he had decided to go that direction. I'm so glad that he did not.
Yeah, same here. And to your point, Seth, I mean, in college, in 4 years at the Aztecs, he had 590 career assists.
Man.
It's really impressive. He must.
You think about that and how good his batting eye. He must have had some like vision that was like superhuman vision to be able to see. Because you know, to be a good passer in the NBA, you got to be able to see where everyone is, right? Mm-hmm. And be able to get the ball to him. Which means his wrists were also amazing because you need to do that to pass a basketball and swing a bat. Yeah. You have to have quick wrists to do that.
I'd never seen an athlete where I thought, wow, he has smart wrists. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, but yeah.
Tony Gwynn, that's the only one I've ever seen.
The only athlete I've ever seen where I'm like, oh my God, his wrists are intelligent.
He could hit a ball that was very nearly in the catcher's glove.
So most of this stuff, I understand, I'm not giving you anything new here or anything, but I don't think everybody realizes that Tony Gwynn actually had more career assists in basketball than strikeouts in baseball. Let that just sit there for a second, everybody. In 20 seasons in the MLB, Tony Gwynn had, again, as I said, 590 career assists. And you want to know how many strikeouts he had in his career? It's just, I can't even
get through it.
No, 434 career strikeouts to 590 career assists in
basketball.
Not even close. Like, I heard that stat a long time ago, and I didn't hear the numbers. All I heard is somebody on the fly say that, and it's one of those things pre-internet you hear, and you're like, okay, whatever. And then years later, I'm like, oh, I can actually look that up and see the actual stats. In my head, I'm thinking it's 590 to 582 or something.
It's close, right?
It's really close. It's not even close. Just what an athlete. What an athlete.
Think about this, where a player can have that many strikeouts, a batter that many strikeouts in 3 years if they strike out a lot. You can strike out 3 years. He played 20 seasons and he only struck out 400 times.
And I think one of the coolest things when we talk about Tony Gwynn and we talk about players like him and everything, he's not even the greatest. Like, he's maybe the greatest of our generation. I think I have no problem saying that. And obviously, you know, in the top 3-4 hitters of all time. Mm-hmm. But most people will tell you Ted Williams is still the greatest of all time. And then you got to look at his stats and they blow you even more away.
Like, If anyone can challenge Ted Williams, it's got to be Tony Gwynn. Now, I know Tony didn't hit with power like Ted Williams did. Ted had over 500 home runs. Tony Gwynn did not hit for power because he really didn't need to. That was part of it because, especially early in his career, he could steal like 50 bases in a year or two. He was very fast. So it wasn't really part of his game, but man, you can make the argument that Tony Gwynn is right there with Ted Williams in terms of just vision and wrists and strength. Just it was amazing stuff, yeah.
You see some of these guys' stats, and you're just looking into it, and you're like, oh, my God, this guy's amazing. He's wonderful. And there was a guy who was even better than him or something like that. It's just crazy to think of. It's the beauty of baseball.
Yes, I would say Tony Gwynn was a better player because Ted Williams was not much of a fielder. Tony Gwynn won gold gloves because he had a cannon in right field with his arm, too.
So. I used to love seeing him in the outfield.
Yeah,
I feel like it was so long ago, but because he didn't last out there very long. Yep. But great fielder. We'll be back after this break. A big thank you to our friends at Family Natural Foods and Quality Fresh Pritzing sponsoring the hour. We'll be back with more Playmakers. Welcome back, everybody, to WFHR's Playmakers. Proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. Seth and James here with you behind the mics on a Friday afternoon. And thank you very much for joining us, everybody. I just saw a phone call come in, so I got to take that. But we do got some great football news to get to. We got to talk Super Bowl. We got to talk our picks, all of that. Plenty to get to. We first go to our phone lines. Kev, how you doing?
I'm sorry to disappoint you. It's not Kev.
See, that's why I was thrown, because I usually can look over and see, okay, I know who's calling
me. Yeah, right.
I thought it was going to be Michael, and then I thought it was Kevin. I got flipped. It was you. How you doing, Michael?
I'm doing all right, and I can say in all confidence, finally, the good Sharp brother is in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Let's make this as real official. Yeah.
Get the
winning bell in there and everything.
Yeah.
Yes. I was a little disappointed to not see Mike Holmgren go in, but I could not even, like, I saw Sterling's name was in there at the end. And so I was just stuck on that. It took me, I would say, a good 3 or 4 hours before I had the thought of like, wow, Eli didn't make it in, or this guy didn't make it in, or that's a small class, or anything else. I was so blown away. I did not think he was this close to getting in. One of my favorite players of all time. And I'm saying in football, not just in his NFL career, but what him and his brother did in Chicago in high school was like noteworthy pre-internet days, where you went to those games if you could and stuff. The Sharp brothers are playing in the conference championship, and you know everybody in the neighborhood goes to see it and stuff.
That's cool.
It couldn't go to a better guy. Shannon's it seems like an all right guy. He's done successful and everything like that. Sterling Sharp is, you've never met somebody that said anything bad about Sterling Sharp. Like there,
no
anything bad about him.
Class act, yeah.
And he's the definition of like, you can't convince me that Brett Favre is in the Hall of Fame without him. And I'm not saying that Sterling made Favre or something like that,
right.
But Sterling was the first receiver, and Michael, you correct me if I'm wrong here, the first receiver to like take those hits in the middle, take those curl cuts in the middle, and be slaughtered while Brett Favre was learning how to throw a ball, while Brett Favre was learning how to snip it in there. And you know, it took Brett a while to learn to be the, you know, he was a gunslinger right away. He didn't take any time to learn that. This is a guy who had his first NFL pass to himself. But it took him a while to calm down and realize, oh, I can't kill my wide receivers. Look what I just did to Sterling. This was the lesson that had to be learned. Did he learn it completely? No, but he got a lot better.
He sure did, yeah.
And obviously goes on to win a Super Bowl and go to another and go to the Hall of Fame and everything. So I don't think that happens as smoothly or at all maybe without Sterling Sharp.
The thing to remember, though, is like, I'll just clarify it too, is Sterling's injury actually came from, I believe it was a run play where he tried to jam a linebacker
but it's not like that just popped out of the blue. That was a buildup. That was a buildup from
taking
catch after catch. Look at the catches that he took. There's some crazy stat about how many catches that he had within the 5 yard line. Mm-hmm. There was a curl route or something like that.
Right.
And he was his Favre's blanket. I'm not saying Brett Favre takes the blame for that. Genealogy takes the blame for that. DNA takes the blame for that. Right. That's not Brett's fault. But it doesn't help when your quarterback is doing that. And you have arguably the toughest wide receiver of our generation. Like Anquan Boldin, please don't get mad at me. But you know, I don't know many guys that were tougher than Sterling.
No, I don't think there was too many either. And I mean, that's just all those. It's unfortunate that that happened in the 94 season. Because, I mean, he was 2 years away from getting that ring that he should have.
Mm-hmm.
But that injury just cut it short, and that's just unfortunate too. But you know, it's just good to see him in there, because it's like you said, there's nobody going to say anything bad about Sterling. And part of that's because there's nothing bad to say about the man. But second, then you'll have to deal with Shannon, and the guy just won't shut up half the time. And he's just going to talk your ear off, and that's the end of it.
Regardless, I don't know if Shannon Sharp can throw a punch or not, but he will talk your ear off to the point where you're just like, look, let's just go ahead and duke it out. At least that'll be over with quick. One way or the other, it'll be over with at least fast. What else did you take away from the NFL honors, or did you have something else you wanted to touch on, man?
Oh man, I went to Canton when Favre went in, and that was a huge class. I mean, it had Tony Dungy and DeBartolo and Favre, of course, and Kenny Stabler, and I think there's one of the Detroit Lions went in there, Orlando Pace. There's so many of it.
What a great class!
Went in there.
Yeah, nice class.
That's cool.
Yeah,
that is a cool time to go.
It was like 10 of them, and then my first reaction was an expletive. Good, Sterling made it, and then. Another few expletives. There's only four.
Yeah. I found that like they have these rules about they can only have so many and so little players from each thing and stuff. Like it feels like they it's so arbitrary.
It seems that way.
The rules. Like they could change it if they want. I don't understand how. You can't convince me that out of that class, only four of those guys deserve to go in. If anything, we have proof of that Sterling Sharp is just, not just Sterling, but other guys who have been waiting for years to get in that are finally getting in. What about some of those guys? Like, why shouldn't they get in? Why did Sterling have to wait? Why do half of these guys have to wait? They're NFL players. We have no idea how long we're going to have them. And I'm not trying to be crass here. I'm being honest.
Yeah.
Honestly, it was unfortunately, it was one of the first thoughts I had. I have not heard one thing. Sterling Sharpe, as far as I know, is doing perfectly fine, and I wish him well. Yep. I love that man. But we don't know. We don't know with any of these guys how long we got him. I'm glad he got in while he can actually appreciate it.
And enjoy it, yes.
I just saw Steve McMichael go in, and he couldn't appreciate it. Why did he have to wait?
Yep.
Why did Jerry Kramer have to wait so dang long?
He can't even walk anymore.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like, just let him in. Let him in. We're talking about a kid's game. Like, you make the rules. You decide how serious this is taken. One thing that I really wanted to get into with Seth that I didn't think we had time for, but I'm going to shoehorn it in real quick.
All right.
Because I'm still hearing people whining about this guy not getting in and that guy getting in, and immediately thought of, well, why aren't you whining about baseball? Because at least in the NFL and NBA and NHL, you can see, oh, Tom Brady voted for Lamar Jackson for MVP. Mm-hmm. I can see that. There's a transparency. Baseball, what are you hiding? Why don't you show this?
So annoying.
I have not heard one good legitimate reason for why baseball writers who are so proud of their vote having that vote, well, go ahead and show it off, man.
The good ones do. The bad ones don't.
If you felt that you were the one holdout that felt Ichiro Suzuki didn't deserve to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, well, wear it with pride. It's cowardly to me to not share that. I think it's cowardly. Yeah. I think if you want that vote, you should be willing to be able to put it there. Otherwise, it gets taken away from you and goes to somebody who's actually going to use it.
Yeah.
I'm really, really tired of the Baseball Hall of Fame. That's the worst.
It is. 100%.
At least the NFL had four guys go in. We go in with the MLB, with Cooperstown. We're like, I don't know if anybody's getting in this year.
Yeah.
That's insane.
There's been years with just one dude, you know?
That's insane.
Yeah, I don't argue with that. That's why they're hiding. I don't get it.
Yeah.
And then again, you know, they have the old adage, whether it's voting for Hall of Fame or voting for office or whatever, you know, it's something that you don't disclose it. I mean, I personally, if you want to know who I voted for, ask me. I don't care. I'm going to tell you, whether that's politically or sports, if I had a vote on that anyways. But, you know, it's something that's trivial, like sports, like that, comparatively so, that should be open.
Yeah,
I'm with you. If you ask, you know, we're talking in private, that's one thing. I will say, here is my hypocrisy, because when it comes to politics, I miss the old days where we didn't talk about that. You would ask somebody what they did in the bathroom before you would ask them who they voted for. I do miss that. Okay. I actually miss that.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I am going to be unhappy with the NFL Hall of Fame until there's justice for Eric Metcalf.
Yes.
And I say that every time we talk about the NFL Hall of Fame.
100%.
One of the great all-purpose players of all time. He needs to be in there.
I loved Eric Metcalf.
Yes.
I will admit, though, I loved almost all returners. By Sikahema, Dave Meggett. Like, I can keep going.
Oh, I love me some Dave Meggett.
I can name almost every kick and punt returner from the 90s.
Yeah.
I got to get that Jeopardy category. Michael, were you a little surprised that Eli didn't get in? I thought that was a little surprising. Not shocking, but a little surprising.
Yes and no. And I've always had a love-hate relationship with Eli Manning, just because he's got the two rings and he knocked off cheating Tom Brady to get it both times. Okay. Mm-hmm. Dude, that's great. But then again, I mean, he's got some good numbers, but he's also got some pretty median road numbers.
Definitely.
That I think a lot of the reason why he's going to get in is because he beat Tom Brady twice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That would probably be the only reason that he gets in.
I don't know. I don't have the right word for it, but it was almost refreshing, for lack of a better word, that, well, we just assume because of those two Super Bowls that he gets in. Mm-hmm. And he didn't his first ballot. He'll get in.
I think eventually he will.
But he didn't get in on the first ballot. I was almost refreshed by that a Super Bowl win doesn't guarantee that. It doesn't guarantee a Hall of Fame. And it kind of almost changed the map of that in my head of, you know, assuming, well, Matthew Stafford has stats. He's got a Super Bowl ring now, so he's probably going to get in. Now it makes it a little more questionable to me. That I'm just using him as an example.
Right.
Say Lamar Jackson goes the rest of his career playing, you know, lights out like he is, but never even gets close to the Super Bowl.
Right.
You know, things like that. It just it makes the judging of this stuff a little bit more, not as predictable, which is kind of refreshing, I think, is interesting. Just the same thing I could say about MVP voting, because I thought for sure Lamar Jackson was going to win that thing. And to see Josh Allen win, and I didn't just feel that was refreshing, I thought it was deserving.
Me too.
I think that Lamar Jackson had a season like we've never seen before, and statistically, it is insane to think that anybody else should win it. But I watched the games. And I know what Lamar had, and I know what Josh had. and Josh Allen, they looked at this like, hey, we're just going to strip this down for parts at the offense. And we're going to get rid of Stephon Diggs and all these things and grab some rookies. And Josh, you just go ahead and make this work. And he did. and he got right there. He got so close to it and everything. Lamar, great athlete, incredible stats. Also had Derrick Henry and a front office that was doing the opposite. Hey, Lamar, what do you need? We're going to get this for you. I think that in watching the games, it showed you the most valuable player to his team, which is what the MVP is, not the best stats or anything else. The most valuable guy to his team is Saquon Barkley. It's not even a question. Man.
The Eagles aren't anywhere close to the Super Bowl without Saquon Barkley.
Josh Allen, number two for me, but it's Saquon by far and away. I am happy that Josh Allen won it. I like that for him. I like that for the Buffalo fan base. But I do think that they got it wrong. I do think it should have been Saquon Barkley. Michael, right. You excited about calling some Kings games tonight, this weekend?
Next weekend.
Sorry about that.
Well, yeah. I look at a calendar, and there's a couple things I do want to touch on first here. Run down the line here. Is first and foremost, James, I am very sorry to see about Virginia McCaskey. I am very sorry to see that.
I appreciate that.
I am glad that on her final birthday, the Packers were able to let her Bears win, break the streak.
It was a class move by you guys. It was a class move.
I'm happy that she was able to go out on a win. I mean, I'm not making light of the fact she passed away because that's a sad thing no matter what. Mm-hmm. It's the end of an era. So that's the first thing I want to touch on. Second thing is I looked at the calendar, and after this weekend, there's possibly five straight weekends of River Kings, and then they go to Nationals, assuming they make it through those 5 weeks.
Right.
So we got the last two weekends of the regular season, then you got the first round, second round, and maybe the third round, they got to make up some points to get past the Squatch, so we'll see what happens there. But then the third point, this is a brand new announcement, my friend. So this is the first you guys are hearing about this, and all our listeners too, is even though the River Kings are out of town, I've got a job tomorrow night. I got a text message early in the morning, yesterday morning, from the Devil's Ducks, and their broadcaster's out of town, and they asked me to come down for the game tomorrow night against Steele County Blades and do their live stream.
Hey!
Well, all right.
Congratulations, Mike. That's awesome.
That is really cool, man.
Yeah.
That is great.
So, as far as I know, that's a one-time deal, and it's only available on Flow Hockey, so all my adoring one fan can't And that's only if the check clears that I have a fan. So I wanted to say that because I think it's pretty cool that, you know, I think it's cool I have an opportunity to go with a team that I haven't seen play yet. And it gives me a chance to get a little more versed with the Ducks for when they come here in 2 weeks.
That's a good point.
And look, it's work. You know, and that's what this is all about. Whether we're talking radio, we're talking musicians,
whatever it is,
comedians, all of us in this creative world, we were either a struggling artist or a surviving artist. And Michael's a surviving artist. He finds work and he hustles and he finds it and does it. I admire that so much, man. And they are lucky to have you. They're gonna have a great call for the game. Enjoy the game.
I hope so.
and enjoy your birthday tomorrow, brother. Because Michael's birthday tomorrow.
Nice birthday gift for you too.
I was actually gonna say, I'm gonna, in a few hours, I'm probably gonna belly up, so if any one of our listeners wants to visit, I'll visit, but before the snowstorm hits, of course. But I'm just kind of excited about the opportunity and to kind of show what I've been working hard with. And go from there. And I mean, it's, if I ever have to choose between the Dells and Rapids, well, I'm sticking with Rapids, of course. I just thought it was a pretty cool opportunity I wanted to share with you guys, because I obviously work with you guys quite a bit. So I just wanted to kind of brag about it a little bit.
Appreciate that. No, I'm glad you did.
Good news.
It is a really cool opportunity. It's also an opportunity you earned. You earned it.
100%.
100%, man. You earned that. Have a great birthday tomorrow, brother.
Oh, I will. Hopefully we don't get all that snow, because I really liked wearing shorts on my birthday last year.
Right? It was probably fun.
Doesn't happen very often, no.
You have a good weekend, Michael.
First one I can remember.
Have a good one, man. Happy birthday to you, brother.
Happy birthday to Mike.
We will take our final timeout, come back after the break. More Super Bowl talk here on Playmakers at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Playmakers here at WFHR, proudly brought to you by Quality Puzz Printing and our great friends at Family Natural Foods. Seth and James here with you, going to take you to the top of the hour, wrap up the show for the week. Thanks so much to all of our listeners out there, our great sponsors. We greatly appreciate you. Seth and I are going to do what we have to do as a sports show and give you Super Bowl
legally,
picks here.
Legally obligated to do this.
Cannot call ourselves a sports show if we don't do it. But just two quick notes real fast here. One, if everybody hasn't noticed, we have spent the last 2 weeks building up to the Super Bowl, barely talking about the Super Bowl. And the NBA has kind of taken over ESPN and all these other things with trade talk and all of that.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if anybody else has noticed, but I can guarantee you who has noticed, the NFL. I brought up earlier how the NFL noticed what happened with halftime and losing a handful of watchers. And what did they do the very next year? They brought in the King of Pop. Yep. They took care of that.
Get those eyeballs back.
This will not happen again next year. No matter what, they will not allow this to happen again where the NBA trade talks take over Super Bowl weeks.
You want to talk conspiracy, okay? Not that the Chiefs, that the refs are in on the Chiefs and getting let into the Super Bowl thing. I can almost guarantee that after the end of the season, ESPN, when they be sitting down with the NFL officials, when they talk about next season, they're going to hear something from them. What are you guys doing? You know, because they're partners, right?
Yep.
They're partners with the NFL, so they're going to hear about it. They're going to hear about it.
Let's take a call quick. Good morning. Good afternoon. You're on the show.
Well, good morning, guys.
Yes.
Never count out the Twins doing anything. I'll tell you that straight off.
Right on.
But I got a really hot Super Bowl take. You may have heard it, may not. What's going to happen is the Eagles will be up at halftime. Something will happen to Pat Mahomes either before or just after halftime, bringing in Carson Wentz, who never got to that Super Bowl with the Eagles. He will lead the Chiefs to the third Super Bowl championship, defeating his old team.
Wow.
What do you think of that? What do you think of that?
Wow. Awesome take.
I love that take. God, I love that take. I have not heard that. I love it.
I want the odds on that. I want Vegas to come up with the odds on that.
I want it to happen so bad. I want that to happen so bad. Oh, that is a great storyline.
I don't per se want the Chiefs to win, but that would be so crazy.
That would be amazing. Right?
It would not only be the story of that, but it would also be the three-peat, and that would make for so much data and so much media.
Oh, my God.
Everything.
Yeah, that'd just be hilarious.
Insanity.
Oh, I couldn't imagine being a Philadelphia fan at that moment. I could not imagine that seeing Carson Wentz winning them a Super Bowl.
They would. Philadelphia would explode. Like, the city would just melt down.
I'll let you guys go. I want to hear your takes, but never forget, Michael Jordan is a GOAT. Later,
yes,
boys.
Right on. Yes, he is. Darn right he is.
Nice. I had to throw that in there.
I do have to say, Seth, that real quick going into this, that according to a new poll, 48% of Americans say that they'll definitely or probably watch the Super Bowl, and 29% of them are going to be pulling for Philly. That's opposed to 22% of Kansas City and 49% that don't care. Where do you fall into that?
Well, you know, I don't know. Maybe I've changed on this. I'm not a Philly fan, really. You know, I thought it was fun when the Eagles beat the Patriots a couple years ago. You know, that was cool because that didn't happen very often. And that was all good. You know, Carson Wentz, speaking of Carson Wentz, you know, I lived in North Dakota at the time. He came from North Dakota State. He was drafted when we lived there, and that was a big deal. You know, wow, Carson Wentz is going to the NFL kind of thing back when he was good. Sorry. But, man, I don't know if I have a big feeling on this one. I'm not thrilled that the Chiefs are in it again, and I'm not a big three-peat guy. It's like, yeah, cool, if it happens, that's fine. If the Eagles win, I'll be, yeah, that's cool, that'll be fine.
Yeah,
man, I just want to know what happens. Will Patrick Mahomes show any emotion?
Yes.
I want to see him get like angry, like on the sideline. Something bad happens, and then afterwards they'll talk to him. He's still like, Pat, what happened there? Well, you know, he just missed the route there, and I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. I just lost my head for a moment, but that's okay because we pulled it out in the end. And so I just want to thank God. No, I'm just kidding.
I want to do an interview with your fake Mahomes. I love it so much. I'm with you on this one. A very similar take, not surprising, but a very similar one. On paper, there's no reason not to pick Philadelphia. They have a dominant team.
Lots of talent.
Very little, if any, weaknesses on that team. They built built a good team. There's no getting around that. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people will immediately say, but I'm not going to bet against Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
And I love Mahomes. I admit that. I'm a big, big Mahomes fan. Mm-hmm. I will say it's not him that I'm not betting against. It's Steve Spagnuolo I'm right. not betting against.
Or Andy Reid either.
Reid, sure.
Yeah.
But Spags, no. I will not vote in the Super Bowl. The guy who defeated the Patriots,
yeah.
the undefeated team, the guy who all season long against the Bills was building up to that last defensive call he had. He hasn't called that play all season. He was waiting for that one play.
They do
this
that.
This man is an evil genius, and I love him. I am not voting against him. Yep. I got Kansas City closely. Close game.
It's going to be close. City. I think the two things that Kansas City has that you were talking about, how talented the Eagles are, very talented, is they have better. They have the better quarterback, and they have the better coaching.
Yeah.
And there's no denying that. And in the end, that might be all they need.
It's going to come down to one thing. It's going to come down to one, two things here and there, and like it always does.
Yeah.
Last minutes here, I did want to wrap up with saying goodbye to a legend in Virginia McCaskey. Mm. Paul Tagliabue referred to her as the first lady of the NFL. Mm-hmm. She was, of course, the matriarch of the Bears organization.
That's right.
Took the last remnants of any ownership.
Of the old guard, yeah.
Of the old guard, of mm-hmm. any ownership. Ownership of the old guard.
Exactly.
She's the last of greats.
Yep.
I, with all that said, and all respect to her and her loved ones and those that are grieving for her, I hope this means that they will sell that franchise to somebody who will actually be smart with it.
Yep.
But I am going to miss her. And I do think that it's noteworthy that a woman like her made her way in the NFL and was literally the trailblazer for every woman to follow.
Yep.
She will be missed.
Yep.
It's been a really fun week, everybody. A gigantic thank you to our sponsors, Family Natural Foods and Quality Post Sprinting. Buy local, support local. Support them. Seth, great show, man.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, man.
It was a lot of fun. I can't say. Sorry.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.